Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Tzadi Ches. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today we will be beginning from the last few lines on Daf Tzadi Zayin Amid Beis, 4 lines from the bottom. The Gemara there says, Beitza b'shishim v'ein beitza min haminyan. This, in effect, is a quote of something mentioned earlier, and you'll notice there is a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, drawing your attention to a line mentioned earlier, and if you skim up the page, you'll notice a corresponding arrow, also pointing to a line that began with a triangle. And we had noted there, these were different examples of a mixture of iser, of that which is forbidden, in a majority of heter, where a requirement of 60 times the heter, the allowed amount, was necessary in order for one to partake of this particular mixture. So regarding this particular case, the Gemara opens up with Beitzo B'shishim, an egg from an unkosher variety bird. We'll say that for the time being, even though that explanation will be subject to change as we go on in the Gemara. But a forbidden egg, we will say, B'shishim, if it's mixed with other eggs, you'll need 60 other eggs. The Ein Beitzo Min HaMinyan, and the Osir egg, the forbidden egg, is not one of the 60. In other words, you're going to have, we'll just say for the time being, a minimum of 61 eggs in total, namely the forbidden one, and 60 other heter eggs. Omale Rav Idi Bar Oven Labaye. Rav Idi asks Abaye, Lameimra, is this comment of Rav Nachman that we just quoted, is this to suggest the Avo Taimo that an egg, in this case a forbidden egg, exudes a taste? And we know that in matters of kashrus, if you have a taste of something forbidden, so you cannot partake of that food. So are we suggesting here that an egg actually exudes taste? V'ho amri in chi. It's a common saying when people want to compare something that is tasteless, they say kimayo debei v'almo. It's like literally the water of eggs. Namely, it's the tasteless taste of eggs. So we see from this that eggs don't exude taste. Omar lay, so Abaye answers, Hocha b'mayaskinon, this particular mixture that we are saying is problematic, is we're now at the top of Daf Tzadiches, the Beitzas Efroach. It's a Beitzon egg that has a chick developing in it. So it's the meat of this developing chick that gives forth the taste. And Rashi points out that since we're dealing with a dead chick that's yet as yet unhatched, it doesn't matter whether it comes from an unkosher variety or a kosher variety bird. The fact is that it's dead meat that's exuding a taste that creates prohibition. And of course, as we said, in order for this mixture to be allowed, you'll have to have 60 other eggs cooking together in order for them to be allowed. If you have less than that, so then the forbidden egg, the egg with the dead chick in it, and the taste that it exudes will have an influence on all the other eggs. Avol tamea lo, but the egg that's simply a laid egg from an unkosher variety bird, that does not exude taste, as we are saying now. So now the Gemara asks, Esve, we have a Tanaic source that we raise as an objection to this particular conclusion. It says, Beitzim tahoros, Sheshulkon im Beitzim tameos, eggs that come from kosher variety birds that were cooked together with baits and with eggs, tomatoes coming from unkosher variety birds, im yesh bahen benoy sein tam kulan asuros. If the unkosher egg exudes a perceptible taste into the kosher type eggs, so they're all forbidden. So what do we see? We see that tomatoes, eggs, simple eggs that come from unkosher variety birds do exude forth taste. The Gemara responds, Hocha nami bebeitza sefroach. This case too is dealing with a situation of a chick developing in an egg. So what you're dealing with, the taste exuded forth from the meat. The Gemara asks, Vamai kori le tamea? If when you're dealing with a chick developing, a dead chick that was developing in the egg, why is there a reference to the word tamea in this source? Tamea meaning unkosher variety. Because if you're dealing with developing chick that happens to be dead, then it's forbidden even if it comes from a kosher variety. The Gemara answers, Kevon de is bo efroach kori lo tamea. Since it has a dead chick in it, the term tamea is actually appropriate. And that being the case, even if it comes from a kosher variety bird, the dead chick in it enables us to categorize it as tamea. Question, v'ha midikatoni seifa, but the latter part of this source talks about dead chick found in egg, implying that the earlier quote that we just had in the frame above is not talking about that case. The Gemara asks, v'ha midikatoni seifa, from the fact that the seifa, the latter portion of that source, which also appears in a frame, beitzim shisholkon v'nimtza efroach be'achas mehem, cooked up eggs, and there is a dead chick found in one of them, im yesh bohen benosei tam kulon asuros. If there is a perceptible taste, a meaty taste, we'll say, from that problematic egg in the rest, so they're all forbidden. So that's the topic of the seifa. You'll notice we've dashed, underlined, efroach. So michlal, we can infer, the resha, the less bo afro efroach haskinon, that the resha, the first part of the source, where you could see second line from the top, the dashed, underlined word tameos, that must not be referring to a dead chick in egg, as we explained earlier. The Gemara says, well, it is. In other words, both the Reisha and Seifa are talking specifically about dead chick found in egg and not taste exuded from unkosher variety undeveloped eggs. Perushe komeforesh. That means that the Seifa, the latter part, serves to explain the earlier part. And with our markings, we've put the entire piece in a frame to give you the feeling that this is the way to understand the Tanaic sources quoted up till now, as follows. Beitzim tahoros shesholkonim beitzim tameos. Kosher eggs cooked with unacceptable eggs. Im yesh bohen beno sein tam kulan asuros. If the unacceptable eggs exude a perceptible taste into the other eggs, so they're all forbidden. Ketzad, what is an illustration of this? Kegon shisholkon v'nimtza efroach be'achas mehen, where you cooked up the eggs and you found a dead chick in one of them. In other words, that's the case where the beitza tamea creates a problem, when a dead chick was found in it. Hochi nami mistabro, and it's likely that this is the explanation. If one were to think, like we suggested earlier, that the ratio was talking about a case that where there was no chick in it, once you would tell me that, namely that a chickless egg creates prohibition, would you need at all to tell me the latter part of the source that talks about one with a chick, dead chick in it? That's all the more obvious. Let's go over that point again. If it were so that an undeveloped egg from an unkosher variety bird were able to create iser for prohibition through its supposed taste, then it would be obvious that an egg that has a dead chick in it would certainly exude a perceptible taste. and with that there would be no need for the Seifa. So why is the Seifa taught with the case of Efroach? It must be that both the Reisha and Seifa are talking only about a case with an Efroach, with a chick in it. And as we said on the bottom of Omid Aleph, that non-developed eggs do not exude taste. The Gemara rejects this last point. What we've done with our markings is we've dashed underlined Hochi Nami Mistabra, which was an attempt to say that logically the Reisha and Seifa are talking only about dead chick in egg and not undeveloped eggs. Here the Gemara rejects that that point of logic, we'll say. E mishum ha lo irya. If this is your proof, namely the seeming extraness or superfluousness of the seifa as being the proof that the whole thing is talking about dead chick in egg, that's not convincing. Rather, tono seifa lugluye reisha. We can argue to the contrary, namely that the seifa teaches the case with the chick to shed light on the reisha as being chickless egg. Shelo tomar, that you shouldn't say. In other words, in the seifa it talks about with chick in it, so that you shouldn't say reisha deis bo efroach, that the reisha was talking about with chick, avoles bo efroach sharia, and we would then infer that had there been no chick, the unkosher egg would pose no threat. Therefore, Tana Seifa the Isbo Efroch, therefore the Seifa spoke up in an explicit fashion about containing dead chick, Michlal the Reisha the Lesbo Efroch. From that, we would infer that the Reisha, in fact, is without chick in it. The Afilu Hachi Asiran, even so, it creates an Isser. So, we leave things right now with the, we'll call it Amoraic level of explanation that an egg from an unkosher variety bird, if there's no chick development, that per se does not create a problem when it's in a mixture with other eggs, with kosher eggs. The only time a problem arises is if the egg in question has a dead chick in it, even if it happens to be from a kosher variety bird. Now, as far as trying to prove that from the reisha and seifa of the above quotations, that we can't show from the source. The Gemara continues. Hahu kizeisa tarba. This is a new point involving mixtures. That's why we have a little slash mark before this to indicate that this is a new idea. There was a kezias, an olive quantity of tarba, of forbidden meat material called chelev. Tarba is the Aramaic of chelev. So an olive quantity of this forbidden substance called chelev, the nofal bedikula de bisra, it fell into a boiling pot of meat, kosher meat. Sova Rav Ashi Lishure Bemai Debola Dikula. Rav Ashi had this idea that in calculating the necessary amount of allowed substance needed to counter the presence of the forbidden, often we speak about the need for 60 times more of the allowed substance. So if we use that as an example, Rav Ashi, in calculating the 60 amount, he attempted to include in his calculation the material or the substance, the quantity absorbed in the pot while it's cooking. In other words, while the meat was cooking up, it also absorbed meat taste into its walls. So he wanted to say that we're going to add that to the meat in the pot and say that now we have 60 to counter the chelev that fell in. Amri le Rabbonon le Rav Ashi. The Rabbonon argued to Rav Ashi and said, "Otu dehetera bola de isura lo bola." Does a pot absorb only allowed substance and it doesn't absorb that which is forbidden? So that's not true. Just like the pot absorbed allowed taste, it also absorbed forbidden taste. So those, so we can't, like say for convenience sake, look just at the allowed substance absorbed in the pot walls and add that to the allowed substance in the pot that's cooking up. Because if you do that, you have to figure there is also forbidden taste that was absorbed into the pot wall. So it's leave that out of the calculation and then just figure, do you have 60 in the pot itself to counter the chalev that fell in? The new piece of Gemara, and we have a little title, a topic heading for this, Shi'ur Bitol L'chatzi Zayas Shel Iser. How much is needed if an half olive quantity of forbidden substance fell into the food? Generally speaking, we talk about a shiur, a quantity of kezias, of olive, an olive quantity. That's the standard quantity when we talk about eating or the prohibition of eating forbidden items. We say that eating a kezias results in a punishment, in a penalty. In this case, we're not talking about the eating of it per se, but we're talking about a chatzi zayis, a half quantity of forbidden substance falls into a kosher pot, cooking up kosher food. How much is needed to counter a chatzi zayis of iser? Hahu palga dezesa de tarba, a half olive quantity of chelev. Chelev, as we mentioned, is forbidden part of the meat. De nofal bedikula de bisra, and it fell into a pot of kosher meat. Sovar mar bravashi lishure betalsin palgi dezesa. Mar bravashi had this idea to make a calculation determining whether there is 30 half zesim of kosher material. In other words, he was using a shiur, a quantity of 30 to 1, and that would have been sufficient in his eyes. Omar le avua, so Rav Ashi, namely his father, tells Mar Rav Ashi, lav aminoloch, did I not tell you, lo tezalzil b'shiurin d'rabonan, not to make light and treat offhandedly quantities that are of rabbinic origin. In other words, in this particular comment, we're assuming that a chatzi zayis is forbidden, but only on a rabbinic level. Even so, his father says, don't treat it offhandedly, namely only requiring 30, which there's no precedent for 30, an amount of 30. Rather, you should treat it the same way as we treat any iser and require 60 times the quantity. The oid, and furthermore, Homer Rabbi Yochanan chatzi shiur osur min haTorah. This half quantity, half amount, half olive quantity, is merely rabbinic. Rabbi Yochanan says, based on psukim, it is prohibited from the Torah. So that even though, let us say, eating a chatzi zayis won't result in lashing, which would be a standard penalty for eating forbidden substance, nevertheless, the Torah forbids eating it. So to require a mere 30 times quantity of heter would be a real offhanded way of dealing with something of this severity. Omar of Shamon bar Abo, Omar of Edi bar Gershom, Omar Levi bar Prato, Omar of Nochum, Omar of Biryo Mishum Zokin Echov Rabbi Yankiv Shmei. We have a few lines of names that we just read, but the following was taught. The Bay Nasiya Omro, it was said in the house of the leader of the community, the Jewish community, the Bay Nasiya, Beitza B'Shishim Asura, B'Shishim V'Achas Muteres. If you have a mixture of a forbidden egg, and it's mixed in with 60, that's Beitza B'Shishim as Asur, that's Asur, it's still, the mixture is then totally forbidden. B'Shishim V'Achas Muteres, if it's a mixture of 61, then it's allowed. So this was stated in a, we'll say in an unequivocal fashion. Forbidden egg in 60 is usur, forbidden egg in 61 is allowed. Omer Rabbi Zeira or Rav Shaman bar Abba. Rav Zeira reacts to Rav Shaman's teaching. We had underlined Rav Shaman's name at the beginning of these, the list of names, so we're referring this egg mixture to him. Rav Zeira says to Rav Shaman, Re'esh ata matil bo gvul heter. You should be careful in what you're saying. You are saying something in a seeming unequivocal fashion that would lead to a leniency. And as we go on in the Gemara, this will become clearer to us. Sharei shnei gedolei hador lo pirshu asadovar, Rabbi Yankev bar Idi, Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Shravayu mishmei de Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi Amri. In other words, the issue of how much heter is needed, how much allowed eggs are needed to counter the forbidden egg, is something that two great sages, Rav Yankiv and Rav Shmuel, that we just quoted, and they said in the name of Rav Shmuel ben Levi the following: Beitza b'shishim asura b'shishim v'achas muteres, an egg, a problematic egg, amongst 60 is forbidden, and amongst 61 is allowed. The Abaya Laho, and the question came up to these two great men, Rav Yankiv and Rav Shmuel, when we speak about 61, what do we mean? B'shishim v'achas b'hadi dido, is the 61 including it, meaning a total of 61 eggs are present, 60 allowed versus 1 forbidden, oidumo, or it could be that when we speak about 61, it means labar mino, besides it, velo poshit, and they didn't resolve this. And when we speak about 61, besides it, we mean a total of 62 eggs, namely you would need 61 heter eggs against the one forbidden egg. Anyway, the issue of 61 is unresolved as far as they are concerned. Umar poshit lo mifshat, and you said it as a matter of fact, that if you've got 61, it'll be mutter. And by saying it in a matter of fact fashion, without raising the possibility that the 61 really means 62, namely 61 of heter and one usser, you didn't speak that out, you didn't raise that, so you would lead us to believe that 61 is mutter if it's a total of 61, which would be a leniency. And what Rabbi Zeira is arguing here is against him, is saying that against Rav Shaman, is the way you stated things would lead us to this particular point of certainty, of leniency, which was not so obvious to these two great men, Rav Yankiv bar Idi and Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a structural note to explain the triangles that will be coming up. And they represent, under our Mivneh heading, the structural note in the outside margin, the triangles are Shnei Maisim Shel Bittol. They're two incidents involving a mixture of Heter and Iser, that which is forbidden, that falls into that which is allowed. And we want to know if there will be voiding. And as far as understanding what the Gemara will be saying, there are Shnei Lishonas Hafuchos Barashi. There are two opposite approaches that appear in the Rashi in order to explain the upcoming Gemara. So with all that having been said, let's learn the Gemara and bear in mind that there are two very different approaches in its explanation. Itmar, Omar Rabbi Chelba Omar Rav Huna, Beitza B'shishim V'hi Asura. If you have a mixture involving eggs, if there's 60 allowed eggs and the one forbidden egg, it's forbidden. B'shishim v'achas v'hi, which will be a total of 62, that means there's 61, and then the problematic egg, for a total of 62 eggs, muteris. And that is really, we should have mentioned earlier, that's really a continuation of the Gemara just before. Now we approach this section that we introduced with the triangles. Hahu de Osulakame de Rav Gamliel bar Rebbe. there was a case that came to Rabbi Gamliel Bar Rebbe, and regarding what kind of case it was, as I said, there are two pshatim in Rashi. The first pshat in Rashi says it's a case of a chatzi zayas of Isser that came to him. So if we take that pshat, so a case of chatzi zayas of Isser that came to him, and that would apply in the second case as well, in the second triangle case. Omarle, Rabbi Gamliel Bar Rebbe said, Abo lo shir be'arboim v'sheva. Father, did he not make a calculation involving 47? In other words, if there was 47 times the chatzi zayas, he would allow it. Vani asher be'arboim v'chamesh. And should I not allow it if he allowed 47 and he allowed it? So we see that you don't really have to have 60 times. Being that you don't really have to have 60 times, in the case coming to me that has only 45, I can also allow it. Looking at the Rashi, just to substantiate this pshat, we read together, Hahu de Asa, Palgo de Zesa de Sura Have, it was a case of a chatzi zayas, a half olive quantity of forbidden food that fell into heter food. The Chen Uvdir of Shimon Bar Rebbe, likewise the next triangle case. Abo, halo bo, maise kozelefonov, velo mozo, elo mem zayin. A case like this came to Rebbe, and he found only 47 times the allowed versus the one amount of chatzi zayas of Isser. In other words, he found 47 half olive quantities of allowed food. The hitir, and he allowed the mixture. Shmamino lav shishim boy. Therefore, we can conclude you don't have to have 60. Afani mati bozesh, eni motzi bo, elo mem hey. I will also go maybe a little bit further and allow the mixture, even though there's only 45 times the quantity of allowed substance. Along the same lines, we have another case, Ahuda also lekame de Reb Shimon Bar Rebbe. A case came in front of Reb Shimon, the son of Rebbe. The case before was a case coming to Rebbe Gamliel, the son of Rebbe. Amale, and Rebbe said, Abo lo shir b'mem hei. In other words, father used only 45 times the amount of heather to cancel the iser. Vani asher b'mem gimel. So, and I will allow it even if there's only 43 times the amount of heather. Now, there is an opposite approach taken in Rashi to these two cases, and we've noted that with our markings. You can look in the Rashi, you'll see a squiggle underline, the li nira expression. Rashi says, it appears to me, the hochi ko'omar, that thusly it is to be understood. Abo lo shi'er barboim v'sheva. The case involved 47 times the amount of heter, and he would not allow it. He said that's insufficient. Ani asher b'mem hei b'tmiyah. Do you expect me to allow it with even less heter, namely only 45 times the heter? Abo bolafon of maisev v'yochol levatlo b'mem zayin. A case came in front of father having 47 times the amount of heter, and he didn't rely on that. And the osar, and rather he said, this is not enough. And I should allow it with only 45. According to this approach, Rashi claims that you don't have to limit it to a case of a chatzi zayas, but even if you were dealing with a complete zayas amount, a complete olive quantity amount of forbidden stuff, it still would be a problem. It would be usur. Continuing in the Gemara, Hahud also lekamid Reb Chiya. A case came to Reb Chiya, Amalei klum yesh shloshim. And Reb Chiya said, in this mixture that you're presenting to me, is there, you have 30? Do you have 30 times the allowed in order to mevatel? Now, upon hearing this, the Gemara asks, or wants to infer, Taimo Deleka Shloishim. The reason that Rabbi Chiya seems to refuse a ruling of leniency is because it's lacking 30 times heter. Ha'iko Shloishim Esharon, and if there would be 30 times, that would be enough. And of course, the Gemara is asking that 30 is much too little. Amar Rabbi Chanina Guzma. Rabbi Chanina explained, certainly not. He wouldn't allow had there been 30, but rather it's to be read with a sense of exaggeration. In other words, there was a case of a mixture that came in front of Rabbi Chiya, and Rabbi Chiya was saying, hey, what do you want? There isn't even 30 over here. Not that if there had been 30 times the allowed, it would be allowed, but the question doesn't even, your question, he says to the man coming to him, doesn't even get started. You don't have even 30. Not if there was 30, it would be enough. You'd have to have much more in order to be allowed. As we continue in the Gemara, we see a new marking. Diamonds appear, and under our Nosei Mivneh heading in the outside margin, we offer an explanation. So the diamonds that are coming up represent Shnei Deis, two opinions, Kama Heter Tzorach Kedei Levatel Iser. How much allowed substance is needed in order to cancel the presence of forbidden substance? So in the course of our shiurim, we've made references to the 60 number from time to time, but now we're going to be delving into the heart of the matter. What is the required number or amount of heter to cancel the iser? Omar Reb Chiya Bar Abba, Omar Reb Yishuv Levi Mishum Bar Kapora. Just by way of markings and structure, the next opinion that will come up is that of Rav Asi, that you see in a diamond. He too quotes Rabbi Shua ben Levi in the name of Bar Kapora. This we can see by the diagonal dashed underline that we have under the names Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Mishum Bar Kapora in both cases. So Rav Chiya's version is, Kol Isurin Shebetorah B'Shishim. All forbidden substances, if they get mixed in with heter, with allowed substances, you will need 60 times the heter in order for the mixture to be allowed. Omar Lefonov, Rav Shmuel Bar Avitzok, Rebbe Ata Omer Kain, he says to Rav Shmuel, says to Rav Chiya, is that what you really say? Hochi Omar Rav Asi, Omar Shua ben Levi Mishum Bar Kapora. Well, Rav Asi has a different version, also quoting Shmuel Levi, who quotes Bar Kapora. Kol Isurin Shebetorah B'Meah. Mixtures of allowed with forbidden necessitate 100 times the heter in order to void or cancel the presence of the iser. Ushneim lo lomdua ela mizroa b'sheila. Both of these opinions have the same source as the basis of their opinions. The basis is something called Zroa B'Sheila. The Zroa B'Sheila is the foreleg of a ram that's brought as a sacrifice by a Nozir. When a Nozir, a person who accepted on himself wine restrictions and other type restrictions, under the category of being a Nozir, upon completion of his Nazirite period, he brings several korbanos. Amongst the korbanos that he brings, the sacrifices that he brings a shlomim, and it's called the ale Nozir. It's a ram offering, and from that ale Nozir, the zroa, the foreleg, is given to the Kohen as the Kohen's portion. It is forbidden for a non-Kohen to eat that, the Zroa B'Sheila, the cooked leg. Being that it's forbidden for a non-Kohen to eat it, we will be looking at this Zroa B'Sheila as an example of something forbidden in the context of our discussion involving mixtures. So it says regarding the Zroa B'Sheila, Dichti, V'loka HaKohen is a Zroa B'Sheila. We have a bracketed section in the Gemara, and the bracket length indicator appears to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. As we continue to the top of Amud Beis, you will see the length of these brackets, and it's to the line where it ends. is indicated by this vertical dash dotted line. We should also point out that the Gemara, in saying both opinions, Rav Asi and Rav Chiya, learned from the same source, this also is the beginning of a long point, which we've indicated to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a nun that's encircled. On our first read-through, we'll skip the bracketed section and continue now in the Gemara. You can see where the vertical dash dotted line ends, and we pick up the next line on Tzadi Ches Amud Beis, Man de Omar B'Shishim. We mentioned that there were two opinions. You had Rav Chiya Bar Abba's approach and Rav Asi's approach. Rav Chiya Bar Abba spoke about 60. So the one who said 60, namely Rav Chiya Bar Abba, Man domar b'shishim sovar bosor v'atzomos bahadi bosor v'atzomos misharinon. When we cook this zroa b'sheila, and we should have mentioned this maybe a moment earlier, but this will be the focus of the bracketed section, whether in fact this forbidden part of the animal, the zroa b'sheila, forbidden, namely forbidden to others other than kohanim, when it is in fact cooked together with the meat, the rest of the animal that's eaten by the owner, the one who says that you calculate in terms of 60, sovar, he figures bosar v'atzamos bahadi bosar v'atzamos misharinon v'havile b'shishim. We look at a combination of meat and bones of the rest of the animal versus the meat and bone in the foreleg, in the zroa. The ratio of meat and bone in the foreleg comes out to 1/60th of the amount of meat and bone in the rest of the body of the ram. And since we are cooking them together, and we're saying that, of course, after they're cooked, so the Kohen gets his portion, the leg, and the owner gets the rest of the ram, and we don't say that the rest of the ram became forbidden by the fact that it was cooked together with the foreleg. The reason for that is that we have 60 times the amount of foreleg. And as we said, that 60 is a number looking at the meat and bones together. Meat and bones of the body, the rest of the ram, versus the meat and bone in the foreleg. And you'll get a 1/60 ratio. Man diomar b'mea sovar, the opinion that holds 100, namely the opinion of Rav Asi, that says that you have to have 100 times the heter versus the iser, and he too uses the case of the zroa b'sheila as his precedent. That's because he holds sovar boser bahadi boser misharinon. We discount the presence of the bone, and we simply look at what's the ratio of the meat in the foreleg to the meat contained in the rest of the body. And we will find Bahavi Le Bameya. In other words, when you take the bone out of the picture, it just so happens that the bone in the Zroa B'Sheila, in the foreleg, accounts for a large amount of that foreleg. We could say it's mostly bone versus the meat. Therefore, when you take the bone out of the picture, you'll find that there is 100 times more meat in the rest of the ram versus the amount of meat in the zra, in the foreleg. Let us now go over the Gemara, focusing on the bracketed section. To review, we have mentioned that this issue of how much heter do you need to counter that which is forbidden is learned from looking at the case of the Zroa B'Sheila. And as we said, the Zroa B'Sheila is the forbidden part in our discussion because it's forbidden to non-Kohanim. Only Kohanim are allowed to eat it. And yet, we know that in preparing it, the Zroa is cooked together with the rest of the ram. In other words, we're essentially preparing heter together with iser, or iser together with heter, and it comes out that the heter remains mutter. The rest of the ram is eaten by the owner. And, well, you'll say, how can that be? Well, the answer is because you have enough heter there in the rest of the ram to counter the presence of the leg that's osir. Now, this entire discussion is premised on the idea that they are, in fact, cooked together. As we go on in the Gemara, we're going to see that, in fact, most opinions and most versions of what we're about to learn hold. They're cooked together. There is one case or one opinion, according to one of the versions of the Gemara that we will see, that holds they're not cooked together in the first place. And if you happen to hold like that, so then the Zerua B'Sheila won't be the basis of the of these two shitas of Reb Chiya versus Rav Asi. Now we turn to the bracketed section. Vitanya, b'sheila. B'sheila is a word from the pasuk, and it says in this source, "Ein b'sheila ela shlema." The word b'sheila means complete. That when it's cooked up completely. Reb Shimon ben Yochai Omer, but we should point out complete. Implies for the time being that it's cooked together with the rest. However, we have to be open-minded, is that we will see a couple opinions on this. Rav Shimon ben Yochai Omer, Ein b'sheila ela shenisbashla im ho'ayel. The word b'sheila, according to Rav Shimon ben Yochai, teaches me that the leg is cooked together with the rest of the ram. As we go on in the Gemara, we see triangles appearing in two opposite directions. They will be explained in the outside margin under the Mivneh heading. But before we go further, let us point out ahead of time that according to Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, according to whichever approach we take, he is the opinion that holds they were cooked together, the forbidden with the allowed. The question that we'll have to deal with now is, does the Tanakhama also hold they were cooked together? Before going further, we have under our Mivneh heading the triangles, and we've written on the side, Shnei Deis, two opinions, Behezber Machlikas HaTanoim B'Bishel Azroa. In explaining the Tanaic controversy, we'll have two approaches in explaining a Tanaic controversy regarding the cooking up of this Zerua B'Sheila. 2 points that will be focused on. Seder HaChaticha Meho'ayel B'Yachas L'Bishula, the order of cooking vis-a-vis the cutting. Or let's say that again. The order of cutting, the removal of the Zerua B'Sheila from the rest of the ram relative to the cooking. This will become clearer as we go on in the Gemara. And Ha'im nisbashlo biyachad im o'ayel. And the question also will come up, was it in fact cooked together? Was the zroa cooked together with the rest of the meat? He'ora, we have a note that we mentioned already. B'shnei ha'gishois, l'fi Rav Shimon ben Yochai zroa b'sheila, hazroa bushla im o'ayel. According to both versions that we will be learning, with when you're looking at Rav Shimon bar Yochai, the leg was cooked with the rest of the meat. Now, we continue in the Gemara. According to version 1, Dekulei Alma Bahadei Ayel Mevashel Law. According to both opinions, the Zroa was cooked with the rest of the Ayel. Mor Savar Mechatech Lo Vahadei Mevashel Law. According to the Tanakama, the leg was first cut off and then cooked with the rest of the meat altogether. Umar Savar Mevashel Lo Vahadei Mechatech Lo. First, the whole ram was cooked as a whole unit, and then the leg was cut off. V'boyisema, another approach to this machlokas tanaim, says as follows: Dekulei alma mechatech lo v'hader mevashelo. According to both opinions, the cutting preceded the cooking. So then, what is their point of difference? Mihu mor sover b'hadi ayel mevashelo. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai holds that it was cooked together with the rest of the meat. Umor Sovar, the Tanakama will tell you, B'kedero Achiris Mevashelo. The leg was cooked separately in a separate pot from the rest of the meat. Now, according to this approach, when you focus on the Tanakhama according to this, the second Lashon, our issue of numbers of 60 or 100 doesn't get started. It's of no concern, because according to this version, the Tanakhama, the first opinion, holds that the leg was cooked separately in the first place. So there wasn't a case of Heter with Iser. And therefore, according to this second Lashon, where we have the inverted triangle, the issue of Heter cooked together with Iser can be a point of discussion only within the opinion of Rav Shimon ben Yochai. What we just said is now spelled out in the Gemara. Lelishna kama, according to the first version, that holds that there is unanimity that the leg was cooked together with the rest of the meat, then aliba de divrei hakol, that would mean that Rav Chia and Rav Asi, the two opinions that we saw on Omer Aleph in diamonds, their discussion applies to both opinions of the Tanakhama and Rav Shimon ben Yochai, because according to both of them, everything was cooked together. Lelishna basra, according to the second version, namely the inverted triangle presentation, then the discussion between Rav Asi and Rav Chia that we saw in diamonds, the 60 versus 100 that we saw in Omer Aleph, their discussion takes place aliba de Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. It takes place only within his approach, namely because only according to him, according to the second version, was the Zroa cooked together with the rest of the meat. Ma diyamar b'shishim, the opinion that holds you need 60 times a heter to counter the iser, is because the 1 to 60 is the case with regard to the zroa b'sheila and the ayil, because savar boser v'atzamas b'hadi boser v'atzamas misharinon, that we make a calculation of the meat and bone of the ayil versus the meat and bone of the zroa. V'havi le b'shishim, and that ratio is 1 to 60. The opinion that holds you need to have 100 times the allowed substance. This was the second opinion, namely that of Rabbi Rav Asi. He holds that you look at Bosar Bahadi Bosar Misharinon. The havile the mea. You look at only the meat of the leg versus the meat of the rest of the animal, and there you'll find a 1 to 100 relationship. And we explained earlier that's because according to this approach, the bones don't exude taste. They're inconsequential. They can be taken out of the picture. And when you take the bones out of the picture, you have to realize that the zroa, that foreleg, was mostly bone. Therefore, when looking at its meat, a quantity relative to the rest of the animal, it's a small ratio. It's a small ratio, meaning it's a small amount relative to the rest of the animal. Now, the Gemara asks, Umi alfinon mina, can we use at all the case of the Zorah B'Sheila as a precedent for other areas of Halacha, V'hatanya? But we have a Tanaic source which addresses, albeit in a pronoun form, we don't see it stated explicitly, but it's addressing the case of the Zorah B'Sheila and says, Zehu heter habo michlal iser. This is an example of something where we can allow leniency, but in all other cases, we will be strict. There is a term here of zehu, meaning this alone. This is we'll call it an exclusionary term. And paraphrasing Rashi, what we're saying here is a case where we will allow the iser that was cooked together with the heter and allow the heter to be eaten, but in all other cases we would not allow it. So what does this refer to? Zehu lemutemai. The exclusionary expression here is coming to exclude what? Lav lemute kol isur in shevetorah. Is it not coming to exclude all other cases of heter mixed with iser? Namely, that only here can we make an allowance where the Isser was mixed together with the Hefter, but in all other cases, once you have Isser that mix is in with Hefter, we have to forbid. The Gemara answers. And before we deal with the Gemara's answer, let's take a look at some of our structural notes. We have on the outside margin the Nosei with a Hemshech, meaning we're continuing the topic we started, and a Mivneh, structural note. We feature a diamond here. As you scan ahead in the Gemara, if you have available Daf Tzadi Tes Amud Aleph, you'll notice that the diamonds that we start here continue to Tzadi Tes, where we have a third diamond. These represent Gimel Tshuvos, three answers, L'taretz HaKushya Me'abraisa, to answer the question from the Braisa that we read, the Katoni, that said, Zehu Heter Habo Michal Iser, Demashma, from this Braisa it sounds, Shelo Nilman Mizora B'Sheila, that we cannot learn from Zora B'Sheila to other cases. Tshuvos Elu, the answers that we will see introduced by the diamonds, Masbirin Be'ezin Ekuda Amrino De'ein Lumod Mizora B'Sheila, they will explain regarding what point is it in fact true that we do not learn from the Zohar B'Sheila, Avol Lo Le'inyan Shiur Bitul Shel Shishim Omea. But this exclusionary idea is not coming to exclude the possibility of learning 60 or 100. In other words, as we said originally, namely the Gemara at the bottom of Tzadi Ches Amud Aleph, where we saw Rabbi Chiyobar Abba and Rav Asi saying we learn either 60 or 100. And the Gemara said they both learn from Zohar B'Sheila. That remains true. They learn from Zohar B'Sheila. What is it that we don't learn from Zohar B'Sheila? So that will be the feature of these answers. In our markings, in order to see the sense of balance and continuity in the structure, we have a diagonal dash underlined under the expression Loi Nitzrucha. That means that the Braisa that says that the Zohar B'Sheila is an exclusive case, that is needed for something else. So you see that after each one of these diamonds, we have the Lo Nitzrucha expression indicating what I need the source for, what's exclusive about the Zohar B'Sheila does not apply to other areas. However, this exclusiveness is not the case when it comes to the 60 or 100. There will be another marking that we'll encounter also that gives a sense of balance and structure. After we explain what the source is referring to, when we say there's something unique about the Zohar B'Sheila, and we don't learn from it to other areas, the Gemara will be asking in two of the three cases, the Ligmar Mine, why not learn from the Zohar B'Sheila regarding these new aspects to other cases? And this we have highlighted with a volcano shape around the expression Veligmar Mine, which is a question in two of these three answers. Now, the Gemara. Omar Abaye. Loi Nitzrucha Elo Rabbi Yehuda. This source that says that the Zohar B'Sheila is unique, well, it's needed according to Rabbi Yehuda. D'yomar min b'mino lo batil. Rabbi Yehuda has an opinion in general when you have like substances that get mixed up, min b'mino, one being forbidden and one being and the rest being allowed. Rabbi Yehuda holds there is no voiding. The mixture will be usher regardless of the ratio. Komash malon de hacha batil. The source is telling us that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who's very strict when it comes to a min bimino type mixture, two like substances, here, in the case of the Zohar B'Sheila, we have two like substances. It's all meat, meat and meat. The Zohar being usher meat, usher to the rest of people other than Kohanim, and the ram, the isle, the rest of the animal, being allowed to other people, to non-Kohanim. So in this case, there is bittul. They're cooked together, and yet we're allowing the rest to be eaten. The Gemara asks, well, the Ligmar Mine, why doesn't Reb Yehuda learn from the case of Zohar B'Sheila in general to allow a mixture of min v'mino and say that there could be cancellation, there could be voiding of the prohibited that's found amongst the majority of allowed. The Gemara says, Goli Rachmana, the Torah reveals in another context that min bimino is not botel. And based on that other context, Rabbi Yehuda comes to his conclusion that in general, min bimino is not botel. Now, what's that other context? The other context has to do with the Yom Kippur ceremony in the Beis HaMikdash. After the Kohen Gadol's cow sacrifice and the populations, the people's goat offering, had their blood sprinkled in the inner sanctum, in the Kodesh Kodoshim, and in the rest of the sanctuary on the curtain, there was a final blood sprinkling that was done on the Mizbeach Hazov, on the golden altar that was also in the Heichal. And in anticipation of that sprinkling, prior to the sprinkling done on the Kronos, on the corners of the Mizbeach Hazov, Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Dam HaPar and the Dam HaSoyer, the blood of the cow that remained after the other sprinklings, and the blood of the goat that remained after its sprinklings, were mixed together. Now, it's well known that there's much more blood in a cow, which is a much larger creature, than there is in a goat. And yet, the Torah, after they're mixed together, calls the bloods of the respective animals by their names. In other words, the goat blood is not botel in the cow blood, even though there's much more cow blood present. The Gemara says, Travayu Bahadi Hadodi Ninhu, after the Torah says that he shall take from the blood of the par, the Midama par, the Midama soyer, they're both mixed together, Velo Batli, and yet the goat blood doesn't lose its identity as far as the Torah is concerned. From this we see that min bimino, blood and blood, they're both like substances, lo botel, that they do not become void one in the other. In other words, the minority amount doesn't become void in the majority of the other. The Gemara asks, Umay choses de gamris meheich ligmar mehai. What is it that causes Rabbi Yehuda to emphasize the case of the Dama Par with the Dama Soyer as teaching us a general rule that min bimino is not botel? Could he not have learned from the Zra B'Sheila, which is also a case of min bimino? And there is bittel. There is a voiding of the minority in the majority, even though they're like substances. The Gemara answers why Rabbi Yehuda does not learn from the Zra B'Sheila. Chidush hu umechidush lo gamrinon. The Zra B'Sheila represents a novelty, namely, as Rashi says, that the Torah is allowing you at the outset to mix heter with iser. That idea is a chidush, that's a novel idea, and we don't learn from points of novelty to other areas. And as a result of that, I can't learn we'll call it a kula, a point of leniency, from the case of Zerua B'Sheila to allow, in general, min bimino mixtures. Ihochi, if you're telling me that I cannot learn from Zra B'Sheila, then Lamea V'Shishim Nami Lo Ligmar. Well, then let's not learn the issues of 100 or 60, according to each opinion respectively, either. You told me I can't use that as a precedent. The Gemara responds, when we say you can't use something as a precedent, we're saying that you can't use it as a precedent for other leniency. Otu anan lekulo gamrinon. Do you think that we are using Zra B'Sheila as a precedent for leniency? No. Lechumra gamrinon. We are using it as a precedent for restriction. And that you are able to do from something that you otherwise call a chiddush. Demidoraisa beruba botil. From the Torah's standpoint, once you have majority of allowed, that's enough. And we are coming along and saying majority is not enough. Majority of heter is not enough. You have to have 60 times or 100 times the majority. And since we are learning a point of stringency, that for that type of thing, we are able to use the Zerua B'Sheila as a precedent.
So just to review Abaye's response, we are saying in general that we use Rav Shelah as the basis for the two opinions of 60 or 100. We had a Tanaic source that seems to say that the case of Zerah B'Shelah is an exceptional case, and we can't learn from it. Abaye says it's true, it is an exceptional case, but that's with regard to the concept of Min B'Mino, where in general, Min B'Mino, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is not Botel. In the case of Zerah B'Shelah, Min B'Mino is Botel. Rava Omar, Rava explains, along the same line structurally, that Zerah B'Shelah can serve as a precedent for the Shitas of 60 and 100. However, the Brisa that says that something is exclusive about it, Lo Nitzra Cha'elo, that Brisa that said, Zeu Heter Abo Michal Iser, L'tam Ki'iker. That is with regard to the issue of taste being viewed as original substance. Debekochim Osir, that in the realm of sacrifices, when you have the taste alone, the taste of something either forbidden or something strict, that can alter the item into which the forbidden or strict taste got absorbed and make the other item that absorbed the prohibited taste take on the same characteristics of prohibition. Kamash Malon Dehacha Shori. The Brisa, this brief Brisa, tells us that in this case, in the case of Zerah B'Shelah, we allow. In other words, the ram is cooked together with the leg. We can assume that the leg taste gets absorbed into the rest of the ram, and yet, unlike the leg, which is restricted to Kohanim, we say that the rest of the ram does not take on the restrictions of the leg, even though, when cooked together, the ram absorbed taste from the leg. So in the realm of kochim, in the realm of sacrifices, let us say a korban chatos, which is a restricted type sacrifice, touched, came into contact with meat from a shlomim, a more lenient type sacrifice. If that happened, the shlomim will take on the restrictions of a chatos, whereas a korban shlomim, for example, you have 2 days in which to eat it. A chatos, you have only 1 day, so that if you get the tam, the taste of chatos that got absorbed into a shlomim, the shlomim will take on the restrictive nature of the chatos, and you'll be limited to 1 day in which to eat it. So in the realm of sacrifices, we say ta'am ki'ikr. When it comes to Zerah B'Shelah, which is also an issue of a sacrifice, we're talking about the sacrifice a Nozir brings at the end of his Nazirite period. Here we waive that restriction, and we don't say ta'am ki'ikr. And therefore, the case of Zerah B'Shelah represents an exception to the rule. The Gemara asks, well, the Ligmar at the top of Daf Tzadi Tes Omid Aleph, the Ligmar Minei, why not learn from Zerah B'Shelah that Tam Ki'ikr does not pose a problem? Let's learn from it to other Kochim. The Gemara answers, Goli Rachmono Gabi Chatos. The Torah reveals, when it comes to a korban chatos, Koil Asheyiga Bivsoro Yikdosh, Liyos Kamoa, that anything that touches it becomes like it. Sheim Sula, Tifsal, if the chatos, let us say, was posil, it may have been, let's say, pigol or nosar, so the sacrificial meat that touches it will also become forbidden. V'im k'shera tocha k'chomor sheba, and if the chatos was kosher, so the other sacrifice that touched it will have to take on whichever is more restrictive. And we gave an example before: if a shlomim touches the chatos and it absorbs chatos taste, so the shlomim will be limited from its standard 2 days down to 1 day. The Gemara asks, Umay chozis de gamrinon mehech, why is it that we learn from the chatos, and we learn restriction, ligmar mehai, why not learn from the zroa b'sheila to have this leniency? Answer, chidushu, umay chidush lo gamrinon. The zroa b'sheila is a chidush, and we don't learn leniencies from chidush. Ihochi lemeo v'shishim nami lo ligmar. So if you're telling me I don't learn from Zora b'sheila, so let us not learn the 60 or the 100 or the 60 ratios as we suggested earlier. The Gemara answers, Otu anan lekulo ko gamrinon. Do you think that this business of 60 or 100 is a leniency? Lechumro ko gamrinon. We are learning a restriction. So it's true that from something that's a novel idea, as we explained earlier, and the Zroa B'Sheila is a novel idea in the sense we're allowing heter to be cooked together with iser, we don't learn points of leniency from that which is a chiddush. However, points of restriction, we can learn from it. D'midoraisa beruba botil, from the Torah standpoint, a majority is enough. And here we're coming along and saying, well, let's learn from the Zroa B'Sheila that Rove is not enough and that you have to have 60 or 100 times. For the sake of accuracy and precision, we want to just go over a point that was mentioned at the top line. When the Gemara asked, V'ligmar minei, we were suggesting, why not learn from the case of the Zroa B'Sheila to allow Ta'am Ki'ikr taste as Ta'am Ki'ikr is not a problem with regard to other Kachim. Rava, if you recall, had mentioned that the Zroa B'Sheila was unique. It was Zeo Heter Abal Mechal Iser, that here we say Tom does not represent the original, that the Tom of the Zroa, which is forbidden, being imparted to the rest of the meat, does not create a problem. Whereas, by all other Kachim, we say that Tom does pose a problem. Rashi, on the top of Tzadi Tes Omid Aleph, in explaining this, said, let us learn from Zroa B'Sheila Lemishri to allow Afshar Kotshim B'Shishim Omea. If you've got 60 times or 100 times Heter, Kigoy Noisur Apigal, imagine you have 60 times or 100 times kosher korban that came into contact with a piece of Nosar. Nosar is leftover sacrificial meat that is forbidden. So the halacha that we are saying says that Tam is enough to create a problem, even though you may have 60 or 100 times more. The fact that there was contact, that there was absorption, that alone is a problem. And the Gemara, therefore, on the top of Tzadi Tesomalf was asking, well, why do you say that? Why not use Zroa B'Sheila as a precedent for being lenient with regard to all other sacrifices as well? So to that, the Gemara answered the reason we don't learn leniency from that is because we have another source by that says Kosh Yigab of Sor Yikdosh telling me that Tam does represent the original substance, and if some forbidden sacrificial substance got absorbed into some heter substance, the heter, otherwise allowed one, will become forbidden. And upon suggesting, well, why don't we still learn from Zroa B'Sheila as opposed to this limud from the Chatos, from Kosh Yigab of Sora, to this the Gemara answered, like we saw earlier, that the Zroa B'Sheila is a Chiddush, and we cannot learn leniency from a Chiddush. And the fact that we do learn from the Zroa B'Sheila regarding 100 or 60, that is learning a stringency and not a leniency, and that, in fact, we are able to do. The Gemara, when it goes on, you will see a third diamond, which will be a third answer as to what is meant by the Braisa of Zeo Heter Bo Mechal Iser, and at the same time explain why we still do learn 160 from Zroa B'Sheila, whereas there is something else that Ravino makes reference to that we do not learn from Zohar B'Sheila. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.